play the Redneck mix right now, and that's one of my favorites.
Redneck Vigilante Bullshit, take 21.
That there's a good number.
Investigation utilizing counterintelligence operations known as COINTELPRO carried out over 295 actions against African-American organizations alone. These were programs that were deemed threatening to the Bureau's special interest. Many of these operations ended with brutal, murderous results.
Well, that's a lie. My history textbooks ain't told me that.
Although on paper, COINTELPRO no longer exists, today, national security is at the forefront of the dreaded war on terrorism. Popular legislature like the Patriot Act, combined with intricate propaganda, has deceived the frightened masses into allowing their civil rights to be eroded. Individual liberties are inalienable rights that cannot be squandered. Without them, fascist police states will reign supreme. National security, but at what cost? Power is not secure, and freedom is not insured. Bubba and Jeb may have hidden their white hoods in the back of the closet, but the hatred is still there, and it runs deep.
You gonna go to that Wool Getter show?
I'm there like the son of a bitch.
and sisters, I want to see a sea of hands out there. Let me see a sea of hands. I want everybody to kick up some noise. I want to hear some revolution out there, brothers. I want to hear a little revolution. Brothers and sisters, the time has come for each and every one of you to decide whether you are going to be the problem or whether you are going to be the solution.
That's right.
You must choose, brothers. You must choose. It takes 5 seconds. 5 seconds of decision. 5 seconds to realize your purpose here on the planet. It takes 5 seconds to realize that it's time to move. It's time to get down with it. Brothers, it's time to testify, and I want to know, are you ready to testify? Are you ready? I give you a testimonial. The MC Factor.
My time was running wild in me in dead-end streets, and every time I thought I had got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it. Don't wanna be a richer man. It's gonna have to be a different man. Now may change me. the sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes. Turn and face the strange.
Changes. Don't tell them to blow up on out of it.
Matter of health. Health is far more than the absence of sickness. It is the presence of balance. It's easy for us to think of health in terms of vials, pills, or even of exercise, but it is none of these things. Some may say it's a healthy diet, but that doesn't ring true either. Why? Because neither tonics, nor pills, nor exercise, nor a healthy diet will suffice if the source of those things, the earth, the air, the water, is full of sickness. We live in a world where thousands of lakes are pools of stagnant death, where oceans spawn red tides or toxic pools, where fish will drown for want of oxygen, where cities are bereft of trees and grass, where earth is as barren as deserts, and where air is a conduit of industrial poisons and pollutants. In such a world, how can we speak of health? What can it mean? We must think in a holistic fashion, of the whole, not the part. To be truly healthy, we must work for the restoration of our total world, the restoration of our relationships, of our families, of our communities, and of the world in which we love, work, and play. We hear often of women's health, but how can women be healthy if men are unhealthy? And this time is an unhealthy one for us all. It is hard to recall a time when music or popular culture has been so anti-woman, so sexist, and so misogynistic. It's hard to recall a period of such sexual toxicity. But this, too, for our mental health, must be healed. And women, our mothers, our sisters, our wives, our companions, our daughters, have tremendous potential social power to help this healing. Mothers are the first teachers of us all. As such, they can teach boys to love and respect girls, and men to love and respect women. Wives and lovers know that their words can move men to great lengths. Women have far more influence than they often acknowledge. They should use it. Years ago, while I was at Huntington Prison, I read a poll in a national paper that measured the radical attitudes of black men and women. Surprisingly, probably not surprising to women, the most radical, rebellious, anti-establishment attitudes were among women, by far. They can move men to fight harder against this system of sickness, to fight for health, to fight for balance. We must build a holistic movement that strives for holistic balance, gender balance, environmental balance, psychological balance, and yes, spiritual balance. This world in which we dwell is one of imbalance, of runaway corporate ravaging of the planet to benefit a few. The words of our blessed ancestor seems apropos. Sojourner Truth, in her famous 1848 Anti-Woman speech, spoke about the power of women when she said, quote, If the first woman God ever made was strong enough to turn the world upside down alone, these women together ought to be able to turn it back and get it right side up again. Now, ain't that the truth? Although she was speaking at a women's rights conference at Seneca Falls, New York, where the great abolitionist Frederick Douglass was the only man present, her words seemed like they were speaking to us now. Indeed, in a sense, she was. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Civil Disobedience Project. This is Adam, and you're listening to Kill Radio right here. If you're online, shoot us an instant message, 213-252-0998. That would not be the instant message. That would be the phone number. If you're listening by other means, if you're online, please fire us a instant message at, of course, Kill Radio Station, and you can get it right off the website. You can also visit the Civil Disobedience Project's website, and hopefully we're going to get this show archived, the Valentine's Day show. And if you listen to some of the songs, you kind of see the themes and why I picked them. We started out with the their sort of redneck mentality, so we did a Primus song and did the Redneck Rampage song. After that, we went into some little more rockin' by the MC5, Rambling Rose Live. Love the MC5. After that, we had Changes by David Bowie, because God knows it's time for some changes. Probably a regime change would be the first thing. And then, of course, Mumia dropping it on us with A Matter of Health, produced by Noel Hanrahan and the Prison Radio Project, which is a wonderful project. You should donate generously to them, as well as Radio for All, who hopefully will be hosting this this show online whenever we get the archives up. So check back into that. And, of course, this is all brought to you by Kill Radio. And the Civil Disobedience Project is a branch of the Gorilla Underground Project, which is going to be starting to promote a few bands. And it's going to be it's an alternate media, radical politics, art, music, a little bit of all that on GorillaUnderground.com. U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A is the way you spell GorillaUnderground.com whenever you get on there. If you mess it up, you'll go to snowboard website. I don't know what snowboarding has to do with gorillas, but I'd like to tell the company to don't use that name. Don't use Gorilla to promote products. You totally miss the spirit of it. I totally don't understand that. And I cannot accept that inside my skull in any way, shape, or form. But the Valentine's Day gift would be a novel gift. I said it before, I'll say it again. Giving the ladies back the right to choose what's right for their own body. Because we just been citing different reasons. Did state legislation on women's body. We did Christian regulation on women's body. So the next logical thing would be to go towards Muslim regulation on the human body. I read this really, really weird article the other day, and it was actually defending the Taliban and their subjugation of women, which is kind of bizarre because they said, well, before the Taliban came into Afghanistan, women were unsafe because of raving groups of militants that would go around that were all products of the Soviet war, and they would just take women and rape them. So to keep the women from being raped, we put in another militant culture, and we hid them from men so they don't tempt the men, and we'll lock them up, and that way that'll make them safe from rape. What a bizarre argument that is. It's like saying that, I know, we don't want to go out in the real world. We'll lock our children up in the basement so they can't be tempted by these foul things that are going on out there. That's what we'll do. We'll remove them from everything because we know what's right for them. We wouldn't be safe in the real world. We'll not bring them into the real world. That reminds me of the Black Flag song, TV Party. We wouldn't be safe there. You know, what would we do? We'll lock them up. Oh, don't let them read that. Don't let them do that. It's a very, like, pet. It's like teaching a woman to be a pet rather than a goddess, the teachers, the first teachers of our community, the mothers. And it's just a ridiculous argument. And that argument also goes back to saying, hey, don't forget, where did those militant Taliban get their training and their money? That's right, they got it from, You guessed it, the CIA, because we wanted to promote guerrilla wars to stop the Soviet Union. So the United States, I said we, whoa, time out. I didn't have anything to do with that, and you didn't either. But the government that, if you are listening to the United States, that are functioning under, did have a lot to do with that. And to get out the Soviets, we created Islamic militants and gave them more means, gave them more training than they already had. And what did we get? You got some, we, damn, I keep saying we, but we got Osama bin Laden's. We got a whole militant culture there that, you know, the United States is very much part of, you know, whether or not they would like to say it. You know, you call it an axis of evil. You can go to the country, you can shoot a bunch of bombs into the side of a mountain and teach them and learn them boys something by shooting in a mountain and still not getting the person you, quote, are after. It's wonderful. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And in some cultures, militant Muslim will even throw acid in the face of women to make sure they cover them up. Safety, confine them to their homes. Do not leave your homes. Safety from the Russian occupation and from a militant society, which was ushered in by U.S.-backed Soviet war in Afghan. I mean, even in women and Muslim cultures, and I'm not as familiar with the Quran as I am with the Bible, being the reverend that I am, you've got women being killed for infidelity. You know, come on, you know, what is, it's all putting the misdeeds of men to control, they're tempting them. Well, if the women didn't tempt them with their low-cut clothes, then we wouldn't have any trouble. And really what that's doing is just another portion of our society where we're not taking responsibility for our actions. The responsibility of rape does not fall on women in any way, shape, or form. It falls on the perpetrators of violent crimes, not the women, for dressing a certain way, for behaving a certain way, for looking a certain way, for acting a certain way. That's all bullshit, and it's a bullshit argument, and I've heard enough of it. Doesn't give anyone the right to do something. In Muslim culture, some statutes even pardon rape if the rapist marries the victim, and some of the Islamic fundamentalists. And again, I'm not dissing, I'm dissing religion on many levels. If you just tuned in, you're not hearing an anti-Muslim argument. You're hearing an anti-institutionalized religion argument. We already talked about Christianity. We talked about Mormon culture. We're talking about all these cultures and how basically what you have within these different things, within these different fundamentalist religions, is religions that push towards the subjugation of women and are making women not free by religious ideology. And I can't stand behind that, and I don't think any woman should stand behind that either. But it's their decision to make that, because it's everybody, not just women. It should be anybody's right to determine their own destiny. And that's not too much to ask. The right to determine our own destiny. The right to not have corporations, to not have people that are very far removed from the house, the cider house. You know, those who are outside the cider house make the rules. But they don't know the best places to eat the lunch. They don't know what's going on because they don't have an accurate beat on society. You have people regulating with a Paris Hilton sort of mentality. I heard Paris Hilton didn't know what Walmart was whenever I was watching one of her shows. She didn't know what Walmart was. And it's like, okay, you have people with Hilton-esque wealth making decisions for the government. They don't even know what these places are. Well, I don't even want to get into what Walmart is, but it's just, it makes a point that, you know, people don't, they're so far removed from what the average person goes through. And the average person is what makes up our society. Even if the richest 1% is controlling 33% of the wealth, the average people that are out here fighting, the people that I'm looking at on the street right now out to kill radio window, this is the heartbeat of America, not Chevrolet, not a corporation. That's what really makes not just America, that makes the whole world operate. But it's not who's making decisions. And I don't quite understand that. And I think it's time to make some changes, like we were saying, that David Bowie song. I'm going to switch it up. Let's go back. And we're going to do Monty Smith, who's promoting a lot of good poetry slams down south right now, particularly in the North Carolina area. Check him out. Monty Smith's up to on 33rd, who are actually L.A.-based, and 33rd.com. You can always find stuff. Anything I play on the show, I put links to from my website. So give me a couple days after the show's over, and I always have links up to get to different places, and that helps out with everything, helps everybody out. It puts the network together, and really, this is about networking. It's about coming together as people, about conscious people, and bringing those things to the forefront of what should be called a real democracy. The silent majority, we got to speak up, got to organize, and you know what? The ladies, let them not be subjugated by organized religion. Let them be leaders. Let them be the first teachers. Let them be equals, because we are all equals here. We're all equals on earth, man and animal. But I won't get into that argument again today. It's another day. Economics, we'll have the culture of eating and all that sort of thing. But let's move it into Monty Smith's song, The Country Song. We love it here. Lots of people ask for it. Let's play it.
To the white children of prostitutes, addicts, and thieves, you'll more than likely see prison bars than achieve your dreams. For the socially unaware, this means a crash course in learning the extent of the white man's burden. Most whites can't see or feel the untamed effects of white supremacy unless they're thrown in prison. Only there can they truly witness in pure controlled terror the reality of being socially outnumbered in hostile territory. For too many blacks and Hispanics in this land of Willie Lynch and Jim Crow, white independence, like a straight razor, has been the weapon responsible for their incarceration scars. Some running generations deep, and I mean deep as the dicks taking turns in the new white boy's ass who's getting gang raped for the first time for being the only cracker on trash duty. No, this is not a movie, so cancel the popcorn and salt shaking and pray to God the guard isn't looking the other way while your manhood's being taken. I mean, remember, on the outside, white tradition is led by majority rule, but on the inside, white boy, you're the minority. What you gonna do?
Man, he drug me. Choked me. Goddamn it.
Yeah! is Rock and Roll Radio. Stay tuned for more rock and roll.
Sometimes I try to do things, and it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. And I get real frustrated. And like, I try hard to do it, and I like take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I concentrate on real hard, but it just doesn't work out. And everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like, I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately, you know? You should maybe get away. And like, maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. And I go, no, it's okay, you know, I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone, I'll figure it out, you know? I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know? And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. So why don't you talk about it? I go, no, I don't want to, I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. And they just keep bugging me. They just keep bugging me. There's pills on the side. It's got me, it's still gone. So come on, pray with my side. You won't have any sense. I pray with you to get away. I'm not crazy. It's a disaster. The other one is crazy. It's a disaster. You're trying to be crazy. It's a disaster. They take me in an institution. That was the only solution to get me needed. From that time to take me from the enemy myself. I was in my room, and I was just like staring at the wall, thinking about everything. But then again, I was thinking about nothing. And then my mom came in, and I didn't even know she was there. She called my name, and I didn't hear her. And then she started screaming, Mike, Mike! And I go, what? What's the matter? She goes, what's the matter with you? I go, there's nothing wrong, Mom. She goes, don't tell me that. You're on drugs. I go, no, Mom, I'm not on drugs. I'm okay, I'm just thinking, you know? Why don't you give me a Pepsi? She goes, no, you're on drugs. I go, Mom, I'm okay. I'm just thinking. She goes, no, you're not thinking, you're on drugs. Normal people don't act that way. I go, Mom, just give me a Pepsi, please. All I want is a Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. All I wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi. And she wouldn't give it to me. Just a Pepsi. Keep my spirit with my sleeves. I'm ready back to see a sleeve. Just get me, just play me. It's the birthday, I'm crazy. Oh, I'm not crazy. Here's the dessert. You're the one that's crazy. Here's the dessert. You're trying to be crazy. Here's the dessert. They stick me in an institution. That was the only solution. You can get from that drop. You can get from the enemy myself. I was sitting in my room, my mom and my dad came in. They pulled up the chair and they sat down. They go, Mike, we need to talk to you. And I go, okay, what's the matter? They go, me and your mom, we've noticed lately you've been having a lot of problems. And you've been going off for no reason. And we're afraid you're going to hurt somebody. And we're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. So we decided that it would be in your best interest if we put you somewhere where you can get the help that you need. And I go, wait, what are you talking about? We decided my best interest? How do you know what my best interest is? How can you say what my best interest is? What are you trying to say? I'm crazy. When I went to your school, I went to your churches, I went to your institutional learning facilities. So how can you say I'm crazy? Say you're gonna pick my brain, leave me something in my face. By the time they pick my head, better leave, I'll be dead. I'm not crazy, here's the dessert. You're the one that's crazy, here's the dessert. You've got to be crazy, here's the dessert. They take me in and it's just a dead one. The only person you can eat it from the sun. I'm taking from the enemy myself.
Doesn't matter, I'm probably gonna hit by a car anyway.
I don't know whether you've been following the Saddam Hussein of the United States, George Bush, but like Adolf Hitler, one of the first things he did to whip people up into a blind frenzy of ugly nationalism is make a real big stink about desecration of the national deity, excuse me, flag, in almost identical language to Hitler. Every day in school in America, I had to rise and pledge allegiance to the flag, even as the Vietnam War was going on across the street at the University of Colorado. And I was held over all afternoon in third grade to write over and over again, I will not laugh during flag pledge. I will not laugh during flag pledge. And I haven't forgotten either. I pledge defiance to the flag. of the United Snakes of Captivity, and to the Republic for which it stands, I dip it in kerosene and stick it up the ass of you-know-who and light it! One nation under God or else. One nation under psychopathic Pentagon gangsters whose idea of national security is concentration camps for people who dare to use the drugs that the CIA brings in and the government supplies themselves. One nation under Wall Street. If the cops and the government are all crooks, I might as well be one too. One nation of sedated tabloid robots who actually believe what they see on TV, even on MTV. And when asked what they think about it, they reply, I don't care. One nation drowning in its own garbage, indivisible from the fall of Rome, with liberty and justice for all who can't afford it. Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Old Glory, the Yankee swastika. Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Whenever I see you, I see red. Whenever I see you, I see red. If the communist countries can do it, why can't we throw the bastards out and try some real democracy? Run not by rich people, not by military people, not by sons of senators, sons of senators, sons of senators, sons. Have you noticed how the more they give people back their freedom over there, the more they take it away over here? So now, before it's too late to even talk about stuff like this, be a patriot, a good patriot, the one that cares about their country more than forcing people to worship a flag, and take the swastika, the Yankee swastika, and let it burn, 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 baby, burn.
Hey, welcome back to the Civil Disobedience Project. You're listening to Kill Radio here in Los Angeles, and this is Adam. And station number 213-252-0998. You can also, Kill Radio Station is the IM, so you can instant message the station. Got some listeners out there. I'm checking the streams, so it's cool to hear from folks, like to talk to people. This Civil Disobedience Project is also a product of the Guerrilla Underground, which is a loose affiliation of activists, musicians, writers, all kinds of folks that have an online community there at GuerrillaUnderground.com. So check it out online. Or send me an email. And I love to talk to new people, meet more folks, see what they're doing, and combine, because that's what it's really all about. We just heard is the country song by Monty Smith, Sacco and Vanzetti by Against All Authority. Very cool. Ska core. Ska with horns and punk rock. It was always something that was hard for me to swallow, but when it's done well, I think it's cool, and I think those guys did it really cool. I thought the Choking Victims did it really cool. Choking Victims. I played with their drummer. He's in a band called American Distress. I think they're on Go-Kart Records or something. I did play with him somewhere. And actually, I ended up debating with him a lot. He was a nice enough dude. But somehow, I don't think we saw eye to eye politically. And as I don't with many people. And particularly many people that don't... That are waving the banner, but not necessarily walking the walk. So I always have stuff to say, folks. Like, not insinuating that he was that person at all, obviously, but because it put out some great music, and that's not what I'm talking about. And what we're debating about is really irrelevant to this whole conversation. That was just what I remember about that particular meeting. But it was in North Carolina, but a cool band. And I do remember sitting with the rest of that band listening to Ronnie James Dio and Black Sabbath, Mob Rules. And while he was inside working the table, but the other guys, they had somebody in their band from Indie NK too. And also they're a neat bunch of guys. that we had the Ramones classic, you know, do you remember? I remember sitting in the back of CBGB getting tuned up and stuff and somebody saying, hey, they haven't changed those seats back there since Joey Ramone was back there. And me being starstruck was like, wow, that was really cool. So that's what I remember. Institutionalized by Suicidal Tendencies, one of my favorite vocalists of all time. Mikey Muir, the great ranter, and a lot of cool things came out of Suicidal Tendencies. Recorded that song a couple times. That was one of the old school recordings of it. Then after that, the Pledge Allegiance by Jello Biafra, which is cool because it talks a little bit about justice for those who can afford it. For those of you who follow the Gorilla Underground, know what's going on. Brother Denny, a longtime supporter of the Gorilla Underground, rolled around with the DBI team, did a lot of wonderful things for us, just currently beat his state of prison and was released. He is being released. He's in processing now because they still hold on just a little bit, you know, as much as they can for that little bit of control. But he beat the system. He won. He won his case, you know, 6 months locked down, waiting because he's guilty until proven innocent, because that's really how the system works. And he did beat it. And lots of money later, money that his family didn't have, enough money bought them justice. So there you go. And people are buying justice right and left. And why some people can't buy health care. I had an interesting thing. I have my health care bills piled up, you know, where they're like, you know, you owe this money to this health care provider. I'm like, yeah, I think I might pay that never. And the other day I was at the dentist. They're like, well, you need to get this done, and that'll be $1,000. And for me, for the amount of money, $1,000 can last me about 5 months maybe. You know, I live very meagerly. So even in L.A., which, but it's pretty funny. But they're like, you know, for one procedure. And I was like, I'm sorry. You know, I just can't afford that at this time. They're like, we can put you on a payment plan that has 20% interest rates. I'm like, what the fuck? 20% interest rates for health. You know, what exactly is that I'm paying for? That's, oh, Social Security. That's right. Well, where's my security? I'm not feeling very secure these days. And particularly whenever you're being followed or watched or bugged and all that kind of craziness that goes along with the Patriot Act. And welcome, Patriot Act. Check 1212, because I know you're listening here at Kill Radio. Because the FBI's got a file on you. You think they don't, but they goddamn do. And that's some corporate avenger for you. But back to the real lesson at hand today. And the real lesson at hand today is Valentine's Day. And our message is women, the goddesses of the struggle, the hearts of the movements, these the people that are being subjugated by not just by organized religions, by democracy as we know it here in the United States and as they know it in many other places, or plutocracy or whatever you want to call it, or whatever ocracy it's operating under the guise of. But it's so much, in fact, a big issue that it's been addressed in many major works. Che and Ernesto Guevara and his probably the single most definitive work on guerrilla warfare has a whole chapter dedicated to women in the movement, and that's important. Now, we know, hey, Che was a womanizer, you know, we do know that, but he does have a whole chapter on that, and the role of women in revolution. It's important, and that still goes to this day, and Zapatistas are big on it. Subcomandante Marcos, the whole Zapatista movement was actually, the first victory of the Zapatistas was women's equality in Chiapas and in the movement. And that Subcomandante Marcos always says that. And it's one of the Gorilla Undergrounds, one of the big things we're working on right now is a major release of Zapatista Exodus, which is just a look at the WTO, U.S. and Latin American aggression, all wrapped around on why the Zapatistas are reinventing revolution and how all those things tie in. And it's going to, we don't know where it's being released at, but we're working on it right now. It was accepted as a master thesis. Now it's been severely extended. So it's going to be the first major work. We're also working on something that's down the road that'll be technology and education, but not in education, in revolution. And of course, inspired by portions of the Zapatista movement, also been portions of organization, portions of Kill Radio, things like that, how technology is being used in activism and not being misused like it is, you know, for arms, armament, missile defenses, that, or not defenses, offenses, and things of that nature. Women, the greatest revolutionary woman that I've had a chance to work with, and is Pam Africa of the MOVE movement back in Philly. Real early on when I was being indoctrinated into struggle, what it means to be an activist, what it means to be an organizer, what it means to roll around and be an agent of social change, I learned by rolling with Pam Africa. Very cool people, you know, through first time I ever met the lady, you know, it was at SCI Green Maximum Security Prison. And I was wearing a Rage Against the Machine shirt. She walked right up to me, gave me a big hug, gave me a nod, was like, I know what you're about. Didn't even know me yet. Of course, she learned to know who I was whenever she went down to prison, because I'd been working with Mumia for some time. He'd been tutoring me. And of course, it was pretty much like when we were done, she's like, get in the van. And I got in the van, and, you know, I rolled around with her. And every time she came in, you know, she's like, here, we're going here. You know, this is where I'm speaking. You know, we're going to go here. We're going to do this. And never spoke much about it. Never told me much about what we were doing. Just watch. And watch I did. You know, I watched this woman electrify audiences with the most sincere and poignant speeches that rivaled the keynote speakers where we were at. You know, we were going, I heard great speakers like Ruben the Hurricane Carter, you know, meeting people like this. And here's Pam introducing these people, and people are just fixated. You know, I saw her in D.C. and when the International Answer was putting on their 420 anti-war protests a couple years back, and I just saw her, bam, on stage, just electrifying audiences, and I just stood there in awe, and I owe a lot to her. And I actually got to open speak for Pam one day, and I told everybody that, you know, in Pittsburgh, and she was laughing. She gave me compliments back, and it really meant a lot. But it was just, you know, I stand in awe of her. And you know, anybody not familiar with Pam or Move needs to get familiar with them. And also, of course, this is someone obviously I haven't met, but most of my anarchist thought was influenced by Emma Goldman. I've read a lot of Bakunin. I've read a lot of anarchist thought on many levels. Of course, even, you know, the Civil Disobedience Project is taken from Henry David Thoreau. Many wonderful things, and it's very cool to see the equality in the struggle, and that the struggle is made of equality, and we need to give it back. You know, I'm saying is the men, the policymakers that are, you know, enacting policies to keep women down, and that sort of inadequacy is intolerable, and it's unacceptable. So let's not repeat that. And we're going to play a song by Fugazi called Repeater, and I like the intro to Fugazi's Repeater, because it's like, you say, hey, job, I got my own business. You want to know what I do? It's none of your fucking business. And I like to say it to people, because people always ask me, what do you do? What is it that you do? And my answer usually is, whatever it is isn't going to be acceptable to you. So here, Ian, kick it to him. This is Fugazi.
You say I need a job, like a model business.
We're back to the Civil Disobedience Project, and we're going to be wrapping it up for today. But that was Henry and Ian, Fugazi and Black Flag, back to back there. And some cool punk rock. Got to close it up with a punk rock. We're going to finish it with a punk rock. And, of course, this Valentine's Day show was brought to you by Kill Radio. And this is the Civil Disobedience Project. Check us out online. And I'm going to work on getting this uploaded to the internet so folks that are listening live now will be able to hear it again. Or if you didn't get to listen to it, then you'll be able to hear this as many times as you want to play it back. You can take me in the car with you. You can take me everywhere. And that would make me feel special. And those who tune in, thank you so much for listening to us here. We put a lot of time into getting these shows together. New things coming up. Of course, check out the Axis of Justice show on Friday. you should view that. If you want to see me on stage, you could check it out at the River's Bottom in Burbank on Saturday. I'll be going on somewhere, I don't know, like around 10. Nah, probably earlier than that. Go around 9. Enjoy yourself and check it out. You can always get all that information on the Gorilla Underground or on the Civil Disobedience Project website. And again, in closing, quoting that it's, you know, it's her life, it's her decision, not by the state, man, or religion. Going back to the Behind Enemy Lines track we played earlier, that's what it's all about here on Valentine's Day is equality. And it's a box of, you know, some flowers and a box of chocolates isn't going to do it. Let's give up those man-made impositions that are being put on ladies every day that are keeping them down, keeping them subservient, and put them on the same level as everybody else so we can start having a true society where folks are based on merit, equality, and action rather than on abstract things like estrogen, like color, creed, or any of those crazy things. But we're going to end with some classic punk rock here brought to you by the British folks that I love so well, but Crass, band from the Roxy, and hopefully Jake will be coming up next, and this is Crass.
Supply there anyway. Said I only wanted well behaved boys. Do they think a dozen microphones are just fucking toys? Fuck 'em, chosen to make my stand against what I feel is wrong with this land. Just sit there on their other fed asses, feeding off the sweat of less fortunate class. Did they fucking power, cut their fingers on a bun. Got control, won't let it be forgotten. Shining up the door, tied down a paper, my arse a little muck, and a shit.